Once again, the Fox,
your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox.
It is time for a terrific Tuesday edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese, and hey, it could be you.
Yeah, sure.
Phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266. And we would love to hear what is on your mind on this Tuesday. Lots to get into over the course of the program. Guests galore.
You've got a busy show.
And, again, some open phone time in there. We'll take a check of the sports scene coming up in the second segment, as we are wont to do.
All right. Well, do we want to do it?
Oh, yes.
Do we? Okay.
We do.
I'll take his word for it. Yeah, we have two guests coming in today, so we got a busy show. So, you know, fasten that seatbelt and all this sort of thing. Our friend Chris Buchanani is going to join us for a segment. Now, I guess I have to call him Dr. Buchanani now because he's an instructor.
The good doctor.
Ooh, okay. No, just all in fun. He's going to talk about something which is about to start up again, which I've heard of before. I think I'm going to check this out. It's called OLLI, O-L-L-I, which is the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. And essentially, it's adult education for people 50 and over. Mr. Ironhead, that means we qualify.
What?
Wow. Okay, that's great.
How did that happen?
Yeah. And it's pretty cool. I've heard of it before. I've kind of looked at it. I'm going to look at it closer now because it just looks neat. And it's an opportunity for older folk to kind of get together, literally get together. This is not just some online thing. And learn. And Chris is doing, I guess, a rather interesting course, which he'll tell us about the history of Penn State football. All right, he's doing a course on this. And apparently he's got lots of folks signed up, like they want to check this out. Like, okay, I'm thinking, hey, Mr. Ironhead, you could do like the history of Penn State wrestling.
Oh, boy.
You could be a doctor, too.
There you go.
Wow. I don't know.
That does not seem right at all.
No, yeah, that does seem a little backwards.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to visit with Chris, and he's going to give us all the details. They're having a special open house this afternoon. And if you listen to this, you're like, hey, I'm kind of interested in that. You can attend the open house and get more details. So we'll talk more about that. Also, speaking of Penn State, a real doctor, okay, Dr. Chris Palma is going to join us second hour. Now, we've had Dr. Palma on before, although it's been a long time.
It has.
He is a Penn State astronomy professor, and I ran into him at an event recently, which we'll talk about briefly when we have him on. But then I said, hey, why don't you join us? Let's talk about some space stuff, all right? And not just weird sci-fi stuff. We're talking things that are in the news today, you know, looking ahead to the future. Are we actually going to put people on the moon? Is that really going to happen? And they're going to, like, stay there? Are we really going to send people to Mars, like, in the next, I don't know, 5 years or something? Is that really going to happen? And things like that, all right? So we're going to have some spacey talk. All right, just some good informative talk in our second hour. So we got a really busy show today. First off, hope you're enjoying the weather as compared to last week. All right, last week was sort of the hot box. This week, for those folks camping at the Grange Fair, they're all doing that because it's actually been really nice. It's been really nice and cool. We're going to have some nighttime lows below 60 this week. Yay! Of course, a lot of folks are watching this hurricane out in the Atlantic, Aaron. Now, Aaron's not coming our way. If we were on the coast, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, maybe south of that too. Folks along the coast are going to feel something from this thing. I mean, if you were listening yesterday, our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, mentioned this storm, at least at one point, was a monster. I mean, this thing was, whoa, get out of its way. And it's I guess, changed up a little bit. It's not going to make landfall. Whoo, that's good. It's going to do a right-hand turn out to the Atlantic, but still on its way, it's going to kind of smack the coasts a little bit. So we're going to keep an eye on this thing, Aaron, E-R-I-N. It's like, Aaron, why don't you just head on out in the Atlantic? Have a nice time. All right, Grange Fair today. Today is day 5 of 9. Remember, this goes through Saturday night. I think I won't call it the big event today, but maybe the fun event today is the Grange Fair Rodeo. They're having a rodeo tonight. That's going to be at 7 o'clock at the competition track, which is sort of on the far, I guess, call it the far side of the Grange Fairgrounds. If you've ever seen rodeo on TV, or maybe you've been to a rodeo and so on, this sounds fun. I mean, this sounds, you know, people doing the bucking broncos and barrel rolls or whatever, you know, rodeo things. That's tonight. All right.
You know, you'd think, I've never heard the rodeo on the radio. You'd think a rodeo on the radio would be just a match made in heaven.
Wait a minute. How would you do that?
You'd describe the rodeo action.
Could,
what do you mean, how would you do that?
Could you do that?
Well, yes. If I could do play-by-play for a fireworks display, I could handle the rodeo. I am telling you, nothing to it.
Okay. I thought he was going to compare it to wrestling. He compares it to a fireworks display. All right, that's a little strange. But anyway, enjoy the Grange Fair, all right? Looks like we've got cool weather the rest of the week. Oh, thank you very much. That's nice. All right, now again, school, well, what? St. Joe's started, what, yesterday? Phillipsburg, Osceola starts on Thursday. Public schools, everybody else in the neighborhood starts next week, okay? And there I was again. I was out and about yesterday running errands.
Look at you being out and about.
Out and about, yeah. And I drove past a school. I won't mention the name of the school. I drove past a
school. Was it State College?
Well, maybe.
Was it Mifflin County?
No, I didn't go that far. This was in Center County, okay? What is this, like 20 questions or something? So I drive by the school, and here's this rather large sign out in front of the school. Once again, and I saw it at this school. I think I've seen it at some other places, maybe at schools and so on in the neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
They are still short on school bus drivers.
Mm.
Okay? You know, the schools are pitching. These are usually, not always, but sometimes companies that run the buses. And so you see their name on the side of the bus. They're short on bus drivers. They are desperately looking for more bus drivers. And what caught my eye on this particular sign, it was not a tiny yard sign. It was a good-sized sign. And it's got a picture of a bus on the sign and, you know, school bus drivers. And the tagline, yes, they're fun to drive.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. Have you ever driven a bus?
I got to be fun to drive.
Have you driven a bus?
Don't think I have.
Okay. Next contestant. That's an interesting pitch.
Yeah.
Yes, they're fun to drive.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fun.
I don't know if, I mean, that's a little too big for me.
Oh,
all right. I'm, you know, you got to take those curves just so and all that sort of stuff. Now, we're not poking fun or anything, but yes, they're fun to drive. That's apparently the pitch now. And it wasn't on this side that I saw yesterday, but I swear the other day at another place, I saw, I guess call it a similar sign, and I don't think I'm making this up. It mentioned a signing bonus.
Oh, you're making this
up. No, I don't think so. Well, maybe. A signing bonus if you sign up to become a school bus driver with either a school or one of these companies, okay? And I swear to God, maybe I'm imagining I'm getting old. I saw signing bonus $2,500. And I have to admit, for a moment I thought, whoa, that's pretty good. I mean, they must be desperate if they're throwing out, if that is accurate. I'm pretty sure it is. I wish I'd have taken a picture. $2,500 signing bonus to become a school bus driver. Okay. Yeah, I've never been a school bus driver. All right, not even close. Work with schools, yes. School bus driver, no. Okay, the buses might be fun to drive. I think if you asked school bus drivers what's the number one challenge of being a school bus driver, it's not the bus. All right, maybe they really are fun to drive. I don't know. Okay. It's managing the kids. And I've heard some horror stories over the years of either bus drivers just not doing it very well with the kids, or you get some kids on a bus and they are, how do we describe them, little hellions, all right? And, of course, then the school bus driver's got to knock it off, calm it down, you know, all that sort of thing. I'm not sure, but I believe every school bus has cameras on them now. So that you can, you know, there's a camera running if some unruly kid decides to be a bully or something and do stuff like that. If I was going to become a school bus driver, which I do not plan to do, managing the kids would be the toughest stretch. I don't know. This may be unfair. Kids are just not the same today as they've been in the past. Maybe they are a bit more unruly. Maybe that's unfair. All right, I can't say I've ridden on a school bus in a very, very long time. But managing the kids, probably maybe the number one issue with people not signing up to be a school bus driver is not the money, and it's not, is this fun to drive? None of that. It's probably, how am I going to manage these kids? Maybe that's the number one issue. And so for those schools and bus companies listening today, maybe instead of this is fun to drive, you need to figure out, okay, here's how we're going to help school bus drivers manage the little guys and gals that ride on their bus. That might be the, you tackle that issue and kind of solve that one. I bet you have more people sign up to be a school bus driver. Just a thought. All right, just throwing it out there, okay? Also, I notice our Center Daily Times friends have a story which they just posted this morning about school rankings. Now, okay, this is from U.S. News and World Report. They've been doing school rankings seemingly forever, like decades they've been doing this, and they've always been rather contentious. All right, they have a whole bunch of, like, markers and parameters, and somehow they gather data, and then they crunch the numbers, and then they do this. They do it for the whole country. They do it by state. So if you want to, you know, check out a story here, centerdaily.com, their website, it's probably top of the screen right now. They just released this again this morning, and I'm looking this over, and I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Okay, hold on, really? And again, this is where the contentious part comes in, because some of the rankings, shall we say, have changed since last year when U.S. News did this little maneuver. And there's one in particular. I'm looking at the story. Let me scroll down. All right, Bellefonte. Now, this is high schools. Bellefonte High School. All right, now, for the state of Pennsylvania, there's more than 500 high schools. There's 500 school districts. There's more than 500 high schools. Last year, according to these people, Bellefonte High School was 74th in the state. Okay, that's not bad. All right, that's cool. This year, they are 306th. Now, come on. In 1 year, you go from number 74 to number 306? Okay, I'm sorry. I have a really hard time with that. Like, okay, what? Who messed up the numbers here? This is a little crazy. Baldy Galeria High School's on the list. Now, they went up a little bit, according to these people. Phillipsburg Osceola went up about 100 points since last year, so I guess we ring the bell for them, all right? State College High School's always been highly ranked, all right? They've always been in the top, like, 50. According to this gig, this year they're number 38 in the state. Okay, well, that's good. although nationally, apparently, their number went down. And again, this is bogus. I'm sorry. This is totally bogus. It just is. Now, again, if your numbers went up and you improved, yay, you celebrate, you put it on social media, look at us. And again, these rankings are very contentious. Here I am again. I'm going back to the Joe Paterno comment about football polls. They're great for selling newspapers.
Well, yeah.
Well, U.S. News has been doing these various rankings about schools and hospitals and other places. Great for selling magazines. They really are. I mean, I'm from Penns Valley. I'm very proud to be a Penns Valley Ram. Okay? Penns Valley is up to number 63 in the state. Last year, they were number 115, which is good. All right, that's not bad. Now, Penns Valley's number 63 in the state. Whoa. That's pretty good for humble old Penns Valley, how they got up to number 63 in the state. Now, some of my neighbors are going to get mad at me. Come on, Scott, don't badmouth the numbers.
Well, yeah, what are you doing?
I'm not badmouthing them. But
seems like you're badmouthing the numbers.
Belfont went from 74 to 306. I'm sorry, I'm not buying that. I know Belfont. I've got friends there. I'm not buying that at all. All right? But tell you, you be the judge. All right? Center Daily Times story. Check out their story, and you can, you know, just decide for yourself. Speaking of schools, here's an interesting, I guess we call this a quote, a headline I saw recently. There's an online education group called Duolingo. Pretty famous. All right, they do a lot of online learning, Duolingo. And according to this story, apparently recently the CEO of Duolingo says or claimed that AI is a better teacher than humans. So in other words, according to this guy, it's a guy, he says AI will teach your kids better than a human teacher.
Teach them real good.
Really? Okay. But, now again, this is in this story. According to this dude, he says schools will continue to exist, quote, because you still need child care. you agreeing with that?
Yeah, you got to get child care.
Okay, but essentially brick-and-mortar schools, traditional schools, are nothing more than child care.
There you go.
You agree with that?
Sure.
I do not. All right. Now, if it's simply, hey, I want to send my kids somewhere between, I don't know, roughly 8 and 3 or 9 and 4 or something like that. Okay, I'm sending my kids so that I can, I don't know, go to work or something. Okay. I'm not sure I would call that necessarily child care. But according to this guy, apparently AI will do a better job teaching kids than people, but we need schools because the kids need to go somewhere for 7 hours a day.
Parents are busy.
Well, yes, that's true. Brick-and-mortar schools are just child care centers for this guy. Okay. You'll have to forgive me that I don't exactly buy that description. All right? Human teachers, I think, do a tremendous job with teaching kids. AI is a nice tool, and that's all it is. It's a tool. And we need to do more than just, you know, use an occasional tool to do a good job teaching a human being. One man's opinion, but anyway, Duolingo, if you're all for that. And finally, I came across something that really made me think recently. And actually, it's from a website called Big Think, all right? BigThink.com. Somebody wrote a piece on this website, and I just read it, and I'm like, you know what? That's interesting. And according to this, it was like an op-ed. According to the op-ed writer, here in America, we have an interesting rhythm, I guess you would call it. And the headline for the op-ed is, America is going through its every 80-year reinvention. And what this person was trying to get put across is, every 80 years, we have a big change. And if you start to do the math, it does make you think. All right, now this would start in 1785. Now, that's right after the Revolutionary War. The United States is a brand new country. In a couple years after that, we form the Constitution, all these amazing documents and ideas and all that sort of thing. That was a real change. 1785. Nowhere else in the world was this happening. It was happening here. Wow, 1785. Now, go forward 80 years. Carry the ones, do the math. 1865 is the year. Now, folks, do you remember your history class? 1865, the end of the Civil War, slavery is abolished, all those massive changes, which really changed the society landscape. Really did. I'm like, okay, 80 years. All right, that's interesting. All right, now let's go 80 years again. 1865, carry the one. 1945. Well, what happened in 1945? Oh, that was the end of World War II, and the United States became the world superpower, and that changed everything. I mean, a ton of things changed after 1945, right? All right, isn't that interesting? Now, let's keep going. Another 80 years. Let's see. Carry the one. 2025. Oh, look. Look where we are right now.
Oh, boy.
Would you agree or would you think that right now we are going through some gigantic changes once again as we look to the future? Now, some folks, like this op-ed writer, would say, yeah, we are right now. Big changes. And you can point to Donald Trump. You can point to the world in general. You can point to a lot of things. But maybe, you know, you can point to the internet. You can point to AI. All right, kind of put all those things together, and yes, maybe right now we are living in a time, in a year or a couple of years, with massive changes like apparently and amazingly that we've done here for the last 80 years, these 80-year increments. All right, if you want to look up that story, it's called bigthink.com. That's the website. Probably scroll down a little bit to find the story. It's an interesting point of view. Every 80 years, we have these massive changes, and bing, 2025 is the next round. Here we are. Wow. Isn't that amazing? All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and hear about amazing sports. You going to share your Little League story?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Buddy here had a lot of fun doing that. Also, again, we got our guest coming up about lifelong learning and about space, the final frontier, and other fun things. So stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll take a break, and we will return right after this.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Have you checked out our new website, 98.7thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 98.7 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 98.7thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 98.7 The Fox.
It's Grange Fair season, and Clearwater Swimming Pool Company is bringing the hot deals to the fair. Stop by our booth and explore our full lineup of hot spring spas, built for comfort, performance, and year-round relaxation. During the Grange Fair only, save up to $1,000 on select models. Plus, get 50% off accessories like coverlifts, handrails, and ozones. Every tub includes a free cover and step, so you're soaking in serious value. Visit Clearwater at the Grange Fair and bring comfort and relaxation to your very own backyard.
Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, is your destination for Kubota. At Daughter Equipment in Mill Hall, the savings start before the fair does. It's the Daughter Equipment Fair Savings event going on now. Step into the Kubota LX2620 cab tractor with a factory-installed, climate-controlled cab. You'll stay comfortable no matter the season. Heat in the winter, AC in the summer. Plus, 24.8 horsepower, hydrostatic transmission, and quick connect loader and backhoe options. From mowing to moving snow, the Kubota LX2620 is your all-in-one workhorse. And right now, during Daughter Equipment's Fair Savings event, you can save up to $4,500 on select Kubota LX2620 models. Don't wait for the fair to get started. These deals are happening now. At Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Visit visit us or see KubotaUSA.com for full details.
Hey, you! Why aren't you helping hang this drywall?
Because I'm the plumber.
How am I supposed to know that?
See? It's right here on my shirt.
Oh, yeah. Now I see it. It's hard to tell who works for me and who doesn't.
I had that problem, too, until I had company shirts printed. Now, it's not a problem.
That's just what I need. Where did you get your shirts printed?
Pamp. They did a great job, and now I can spot my employees right away.
Hey, Joe!
What?
Call Pamp and get those shirts printed for the crew ASAP.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-On, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It is Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese, and you on the big show today as we take a check of the sports scene. And, well, we are getting ever closer to the start of college football. Saturday, things get underway. A week from Saturday, the Nittany Lions will begin their campaign at home against Nevada in a 3:30 kickoff. Yesterday, Penn State learned that four players are on the Associated Press All-America teams, including three first-team preseason All-Americas for the Nittany Lions: senior defensive tackle Zane Durant, redshirt junior offensive lineman Vega Iwane, and senior running back Nicholas Singleton. Senior running back Catron Allen is on the preseason second team. Penn State tied with Texas for the most first-team selections among FBS teams. Interestingly enough, Texas is number one, Penn State number two in the preseason Associated Press poll. Durant and Iwane and Singleton getting all kinds of preseason recognition and on watch lists. Allen also getting some attention in the preseason as well. Going to be a fun year, I do believe, here in the Valley of Happiness. The State College Spikes had yesterday off. The Spikes will welcome the Williamsport Crosscutters to Medler Field at Lebrano Park this evening for a 6:35 start. The two teams will play again tomorrow in State College and then will close out the series in Williamsport on Thursday. The Spikes are now 29-30 overall this season. What a game yesterday at the Little League World Series between South Carolina and Nevada. Joe Giuletti threw a no-hitter for the team from Irmo, South Carolina. Garrett Gallegos had 12 strikeouts in his start for the team from Las Vegas. The game went to extra innings, and ultimately, Cutter Rickefort hit a walk-off single in the extra innings to give Nevada the walk-off 1-0 victory. Heartbreak for the South Carolina team. Again, Giuletti had a no-hitter through the six innings of regulation play, and they ultimately lose, though, 1-0. Meanwhile, Venezuela had some outstanding defense en route to a 4-0 victory over Japan yesterday. Chinese Taipei defeated Aruba 4-0, and then last night it was Connecticut blasting South Dakota 13-1. Today, it's elimination games throughout the schedule. Japan will play Mexico at 1 o'clock, then South Carolina and Hawaii will square off at 3. Canada faces Aruba at 5, and South Dakota will go up against Washington at 7. Again, the losers of those four games will be out of this year's Little League World Series. The Pittsburgh Pirates knocked off the Toronto Blue Jays in a heated game last night at PNC Park. 5-2 was your final. Paul Skeens holding Toronto to 2 runs over 6 innings as he struck out 8 in another good start. Pittsburgh taking advantage of some sloppy play by the team that has the best record in the American League to pull away for the 5-2 win. The bench is cleared following a walk by Tommy Pham in the seventh inning. He walked on 4 pitches. The Pirates had taken the lead, and then Pham drew the walk, and he flipped his bat. This apparently did not go over well with the Blue Jays catcher Tyler Heineman. They looked at each other. They shouted at each other. The team's emptied, and then everybody went back to the bench, and they finished
up
the game.
Give me a break.
Tonight will be a 6:40 start in this heated battle between the Blue Jays and the Buccos. Airtime is scheduled for 6:15. You just never know with us here on Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. The Phillies defeated the Mariners 12-7 last night. Philadelphia pounding out a season-high 21 hits in the game. Bryce Harper had 2 long bombs, both going over 440 feet in the victory. The Phillies got a strong start from Ranger Suarez. He gave up 2 runs in 6 2/3 innings and also had 10 strikeouts and nary a walk.
Not bad.
Pretty good. Yeah. Meanwhile, Phillies ace Zach Wheeler underwent a successful procedure to remove a blood clot in his right upper arm. Still no timetable for Wheeler's return. And the one article I saw this morning said they don't know if or when he will return this season. Ooh. So that is going to be a much-watched topic of discussion here as the Phillies make the turn toward the postseason. Penn State football team picking up a commitment for the class of 2027. Cornerback Gabe Jenkins announcing his commitment yesterday. He is a Pittsburgh native and is rated as the 8th best player in Pennsylvania and the 19th best cornerback in the country. This according to 247's composite rankings. Jenkins is the 4th commitment for the 2027 recruiting class. Again, only 4 commits. But, man, this is shaping up to be a great class. Jenkins, again, is a 4-star prospect at cornerback. They have a 4-star receiver by the name of Khalil Taylor. And then they have 2 5-star prospects in running back Kemon Spell and offensive tackle Leighton Von Brandt. The Penn State hockey team has its first commitment for the class of 2027, and he's a good one. 4-star prospect Braden Horton announcing he will join the Nittany Lions in a couple of years. He's a 6'2", 176-pound forward out of St. Mary's, Pennsylvania. He will be heading to the National Team Development Program for the upcoming season. Former Penn State football player and current Baltimore Ravens defensive end Adisa Isaac will be out multiple weeks with a dislocated elbow. Ouch! He sustained that in the Ravens' 31-13 preseason win over the hapless Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
I just like saying hapless Dallas Cowboys. Ravens head coach John Harbaugh confirming the injury in his post-game press conference. Isaac's timeline for return remains unclear at this time. Philadelphia Eagles made a trade yesterday. They traded to get Houston Texans wide receiver John Mechie III. The Eagles get Mechie in exchange for tight end Harrison Bryant. That swap going down yesterday. Meanwhile, the Pittsburgh Steelers making a couple of moves with their roster yesterday. The Steelers releasing rookie wide receiver Rock Taylor. He had been drawing some very good reviews in the preseason camp, but the undrafted free agent out of Memphis cut by the Steelers yesterday. The Steelers, meanwhile, signing former Seattle Seahawks cornerback Cam Alexander, that according to ESPN. And that is a check of sports. We did get a chance, the Mad Turtle and I, going down to South Williamsport yesterday to take in the Little League action. It is a really interesting setup. The game with the international team was in the stadium that is furthest away from the museum. So there's the two stadiums. They're right next to each other. One is right below the other. And so we walk into the main gate. Some really neat stuff. They have the baseball planters there, which is just a neat way to walk up toward the field. We got there kind of right as the first international game was beginning, and so we were standing in the outfield taking in the action. Venezuela got off to a good start, got a couple of runs across right away. Some really good defense by Venezuela. Watched a few innings there, and then Mad Turtle said, let's go grab something to eat. I was completely on board. We went up and stopped off at the store. Mad Turtle got a sharp-looking hat. I got a T-shirt. And then we went and got a very good meal. The Mad Turtle got his chicken tenders and fries. I had a fantastic Italian sausage sandwich.
Okay.
And then we, I'm like, hey, we can go back and watch the rest of this Venezuela game. We were kind of keeping track of it on our phone. Or we can go up and try to get seats for the U.S. game that starts here at 3 o'clock. This is about 2:20. And he's, Matt Turtle's like, hey, let's see if we can get seats. Let's just take in all of this game. So, sure enough, we get seats down the right field line. Very good seats. We're taking in the cardboard sliding on the hill. We're taking in the atmosphere. Teams are warming up. We're fascinated by the coaches, by the way they are conducting the warm-ups, by the overall scene, where the each team's fan base is located. And the mascot then gets together with each team before the game separately. And they do a little dance. They do about a 5-minute dance. It was fun.
Wow.
Really cool stuff. And then we got to see the no hit. It was a great game. We kind of, for no real apparent reason, we're like, I think we'll choose South Carolina. We were rooting for Venezuela in the first game. We just, we liked the uniforms and we're like, Japan, they've got enough titles. We want to see Venezuela. So Venezuela comes through and we're like, let's root for South Carolina. We didn't really know when we made that decision. We were pretty well surrounded by, more of the Las Vegas fans. There were fans of both teams scattered throughout, but we were on the right field side. The first base side tended to be more. That's where the contingent for Nevada was, and their fans, again, were more so. We were further down from their contingent, their base. But we were rooting for South Carolina, not passionately. We liked both teams. We liked some of the kids in particular. Like, oh, man, that kid seems cool. Seems like a nice guy, that sort of thing. But, man, just heartbreak for South Carolina. Both pitchers were phenomenal. It was a really well-played game. Scoreless into extra innings. Again, ultimately Las Vegas gets the win. The poor right fielder for South Carolina. I think he makes the throw home and gets the out if he doesn't kick the ball. Kicks the ball a little bit, and it just there was no chance at that point. He threw it home, and it was about a second and a half to 2 seconds late. And so Las Vegas gets the walk-off win. So South Carolina's into the elimination game. And then we debated and ultimately decided we wanted to head home. We were we had a very busy few days. We had gone out to, and I had told him going in, I'm like, listen, we need I want to watch all of the American game. After we watch the first two, completely up to you. We're good. We had we went whitewater rafting in Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, and that was a long day, fun day, but a long day. On Saturday, and then on Sunday, we did all but two of the big roller coasters at Hershey Park. Whoa. And we were on a mission to do them all, and then weather interrupted on Saturday evening. And so we did not complete our overall mission at Hershey, but man, we walked from one end of the park to the other, back and forth, did a bunch of other rides. That was a very busy, long day. We didn't get home, I think it was about 9:30 on Sunday night. And then again, right after the show, or shortly after the show yesterday, headed up to South Williamsport for the Little League World Series. So we have had an adventurous and busy 3 days. Matt Turtle's like, can we just go let's grab something to eat on the way home? And then we got stuck in a little construction there on I-80, which made that trip a little longer. But God, we were home by about 7:30. Watched the Connecticut route last night, and then called it a night, called it a day. But very good experience. We want to head back next year. Mad Turtle said he's on board for heading back next year. May try to do one of the weekend, either Saturday or Sunday, go down and kind of make a full day of it next year.
Enjoy these days.
Oh, believe me, because I'm trying to soak up every second.
They go by too quickly.
I hear you.
Again, my girls are both in their 30s now. Oh, my God. Yes, enjoy these days. They're fun. Aruba has a little league?
Yeah.
Aruba?
Yeah.
They're not very big, Aruba.
No.
It's a little tiny island.
No.
Really? Okay.
Played well.
All right. That Penn State hockey story, kid from St. Mary's?
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed because I used to do a lot of work up in St. Mary's. I'm not familiar with this one, so I didn't know anybody in St. Mary's played hockey. It's like,
plays it
really
very well, apparently.
It's not like the high school has a hockey team or something. So that's very interesting. I'll have to watch that kid. All right, that's cool. All right, finally, before we take a break. Now, you missed this. I can't believe you missed this story.
Oh, no.
We're going to help out Penn State today.
Okay.
All right. Penn State, $700 million, whatever, to refurbish Beaver Stadium, and how are they going to pay for this, and so on. Maybe they need to take a hint from Oklahoma. Now, folks, would you do this? Okay. Saw this on ESPN. I'm like, seriously?
Yeah, they were having some fun with this on LeVar's show.
Really? Okay. All right, good. I missed that part. Good.
Yeah.
If you're a fan, like an Oklahoma fan, you are now being given the opportunity to attend the post-game press conference where, you know, the coach comes out, top player or two comes out, then other players come out, and you're there in the gaggle with reporters and so on. Now regular fans are being given the opportunity to be part of the mix. That sounds great, right? They're calling this Sooner Magic Memories. Oh, I got to love that name. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, folks, this is not free. Okay? You're going to have to pay a little something to do this. So, for instance, Oklahoma's opener is against Illinois State.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that would be up there with Penn State and, like, their first three games.
Yeah.
Okay? All right? We're not talking killer games, all right? But two people could go see or go, you know, check out the post-game press conference between Oklahoma and Illinois State on August 30th. And it will only cost you $461.61 for two people.
Yep.
They've already sold out. Now, it doesn't have a number like, here's how many total people they're letting in. It's probably not a lot. All right. Now, the following game, September 6th, Oklahoma is hosting Michigan. All right. Big game. Big game. All right. Apparently, this one maybe, I guess, is not sold out yet. If you're an Oklahoma fan, it'll only cost you $692.11.
Yep.
That's for two people. And then September 20, Oklahoma hosts Auburn. Remember, both teams are in the SEC now. I'm still getting used to this. Both teams are in the SEC now. If you want to go to the Auburn game and go to the post-game press thing, $576.86. First off, that's an odd number. It's like, couldn't you just round up, make it $600 or something? I don't know why it's such a weird number. Folks, if Penn State did that, first off, I bet they would charge more than what Oklahoma is charging. Just a hunch. Would you fork up that money to go to the post-game press conference? Now, Mr. Ironhead, I haven't done this in a long time, but it used to be, all right, Coach Franklin comes out first. He sits down, takes a lot of questions. They bring out a star player or somebody who had a big game, and a whole bunch of people fire questions. Then they bring a whole bunch of people in the room, and it kind of goes crazy. The reporters go in all directions, talking to this guy or that guy or this coach or something. Am I correct? That's the way it still is?
Yeah.
It's been a few years since I've done this.
Yeah.
Okay. So apparently it's for the whole gig. And I don't know if the fans are allowed to go question players like, hey, I'm a fan. Can I ask you a question? Doesn't say that in here. But would you fork up hundreds of dollars for what might be, I mean, not that long, maybe, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes so that you're part of the action? Would you fork up that kind of money? All right, think about that, because we got to take a break, and we have our guests coming up. Later on next hour, we'll have some open line time. I'm just curious if somebody went, yeah, I would willingly fork up that kind of money to go to a Penn State post-game conference. I'm just curious. That'll be very interesting. See what you think. All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back. We got some great guests, some great topics, so stay tuned. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7,
The Fox.
Hey, honey, what you doing?
Getting the camping gear ready to go. Got the tent, air mattress, sleeping bags.
Hey, babe, I was thinking.
Oh, boy.
Don't you want me to be a happy camper?
Sure, happy wife, happy life.
It's time to look at campers. I mean, let's just check them out. Let's go to Bill's Happy Campers in Mill Hall. Bill's Happy Campers has a great selection of new and used campers. I mean, they have great names like Catalina, the Legacy Edition, Trailblazer, Summit, Cedar Creek, Riverstone.
Sounds like you've already checked out Bill's Happy Campers.
I have. Look at their website, billshappycampers.com.
Wow, they're really nice. You put the camping stuff away.
Gladly.
Bill's Happy Campers, 15 North Water Street in Mill Hall. Open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, 8 till 6, Wednesday and Friday, 8 to 5. Hey, make sure you visit them at the Center County Grange Fair. Bill's Happy Campers. You'll leave a happy camper because customer service is their top priority.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Bellefonte. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Bellefonte. Brothers Pizza, downtown Bellefonte.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
It's Grange Fair season, and Clearwater Swimming Pool Company is bringing the hot deals to the fair. Stop by our booth and explore our full lineup of hot spring spas, built for comfort, performance, and year-round relaxation. During the Grange Fair only, save up to $1,000 on select models. Plus, get 50% off accessories like coverlifts, handrails, and ozones. Every tub includes a free cover and step, so you're soaking in serious value. Visit Clearwater at the Grange Fair and bring comfort and relaxation to your very own backyard.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
98.7 The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. Fine looking Tuesday. Good feeling Tuesday at that here in the Valley of Happiness.
All right. We got lots of guests coming up. We're going to start with this guy. I think we know who he is.
Hey.
It's our friend Chris Buchanani.
Hi, everybody.
And I guess we have to call you Dr. Buchanani.
No, you're an instructor now. Yes. Instructor, not a professor.
Oh, okay. Well, sometimes I get those confused. All right. You're involved with something which I've heard of before, but I need to check out further because it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, okay. So it's called the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, which is a national nonprofit, but it has branches at various universities, including Penn State. And it's basically a way for, they facilitate people in the community who have knowledge, special interests, anything that they have a passion to share with other people, and they connect them with lifelong learners. So these are people who are 50 plus who join OLLI, O-L-L-I, Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. And they can take these classes, and if you're a member, you can take them for reduced tuition. If you're a non-member of OLLI, so anyone in the community can sign up, you can pay a little extra, you can take any one of the courses from their catalog. The website is OLLI, O-L-L-I, .psu.edu. You can get all the information on there on the website. You can sign up and become a member. You can gift a membership to someone in your life who is interested in maybe a retiree or somebody who's just got a curious mind. I've done that. I've given OLLI memberships as gifts. And today, up at Innovation Park, at the Outreach Building from 1:30 to 3 o'clock. We're going to have a free open house. So if any of this sounds intriguing, if you think it might be for you or, again, for somebody else in your life, maybe a parent or a friend or a neighbor, come on out to the Outreach Building in Innovation Park, 1:30 to 3, free cookies.
Now we're talking.
Probably should have led with that.
You got Jeff with
and,
free cookies.
Yeah, you're going to learn all about it. There's going to be a lot of instructors there, a lot of volunteers to talk about it. And I'll be there because I teach it for, this is my second year now, a course on Penn State football history, which I'm going to offer again this fall. So if that piques your interest, you can come meet me, learn a little bit more about the course, sign up for it if you're of a mind. And, yeah, it's just a very, very cool program that has been going for a long time, has offered a lot of really, really great opportunities for the folks in this community. One of the many great things about living in Happy Valley, have access to something like this. And I'm really gratified and proud to be a part of it. I'm just trying to spread the gospel.
No, that is. That's very cool.
And Ironhead, again, we qualify. Whoa.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We're not youngsters, okay? And again, it's 50 and over, which, is there a reason 50 and over? What?
I can't speak specifically to the age guidelines. And again, I think if you show up and you're 49 and you want to buy a membership, I don't know that you're going to be turned away. Oh, like God. I said,
those 49-year-old kids couldn't handle this. That's it.
and it is, it's enrollment in any particular course is available to the entire community. I think when Ollie got started as an endeavor, the goal was to serve lifelong learners, like continuous learners who were getting into or close to retirement, and thus, you know, you got to pick an age at one point, you know.
Okay. So you are the instructor for the history of Penn State football.
Yes, sir.
Now, is this like every week, every month? How does that work?
So it's I do it in three installments. Last year, I did it in the evening. This year, you know, it's a new course, and they're trying to figure out where the sweet spot for it is in terms of the interest level. It's, you can take it hybrid, too. So you can take it in class or online. Or you can watch via Zoom. And this year, it's going to be on Monday mornings, starting on September the 8th. And so I teach it in three installments, three 90-minute sessions.
Okay.
Monday morning seems appropriate for the Monday morning quarterback.
You know, indeed.
Follow Penn State
indeed.
Football. So
that works.
Yeah.
All right, that's nice.
And I give my last lecture the Monday before the whiteout against Oregon, which is awesome for two reasons. Because, number one, that's going to be a great time to be talking about Penn State football.
For sure.
And number two, I am 99.9 repeating percent sure I'm not going to have any grumpy students in my classroom the way the non-conference schedule sets up.
I think that is correct.
Ah, very smart.
Yes.
Okay, nice. Now, I mean, you've got a catalog there.
Yes,
and
sir.
Again, a website, olli.psu.edu.
Yes.
That's essentially the online catalog. I don't know, you're doing Penn State football history. What are some other, I don't know, courses or things?
Yeah, I mean, again, if you are somebody who has, like I said, a curious mind, just wants to learn about something, there's probably an opportunity for you here in the Ollie catalog. I've got the page open to history and politics, which is where my course is listed, and just in the same page as my course listing, there's one on the Allied invasion of Sicily in 1943, so like World War II history.
All right, there you go.
The Lewis and Clark expedition and a connection to Pennsylvania. Many sides of Abraham Lincoln. Alaska's gold rush train. Baby boomers take the presidency. The life and presidencies of Bill Clinton and George W. Bush. If you're a political aficionado, to me, that's a really interesting inflection point in American political history, the election of Bill Clinton, the first baby boomer president, so that sort of handoff from H.W., who was Greatest Generation, to Bill Clinton. So there's a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
I'll shout out two courses in particular. In addition to mine, Lee Stout, the former university archivist, he teaches a course on the history of Beaver Stadium. And so that's just a single session, and it seems especially interesting given everything going on
yes.
over at the Beeve this year. And I know Lee's been doing that with Ollie for several years. And a good buddy of mine, anthropology professor at Penn State, Kirk French, who teaches the single most popular undergraduate course at Penn State, Anth 140, I think it is, the anthropology of alcohol. He takes all the highlights from his semester-long course and condenses it down into one single session you can
wow.
take through Ollie.
The anthropology of alcohol.
Yes.
Is the number one course at Penn State.
Yeah, does it surprise you?
Well, no.
Not even a little.
I didn't take that one when I was in school. But
you guys should have Kirk in here sometime. It was entirely his brainchild. And really, it's a very, very cool class. He covers the history of alcohol, its production, and its social role in cultures throughout history. He talks about, you know, modern social mores around alcohol. He brings the Piazza family in to talk to the class about dangers of alcohol consumption and how certain, you know, like the like with the fraternity system and the animal house culture, how excess of consumption has become part of modern alcohol culture and the dangers of that, obviously.
Yeah.
It's a really cool class. So, you know, you can get a condensed version of that. There are, through this program, for folks just tuning in, we're talking about Penn State Olli, OLLI, Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, doing an open house at the Outreach Building today at 1:30, open to the public. Come one, come all. There are a lot of tours, some kind of like off-site to nature locations. You go through the Penn State Arboretum. I know some years, not this year, obviously, with the construction, but they'll do tours of Beaver Stadium.
Yeah.
There are yoga, meditation classes, Tai Chi. Tony Sapia won their Instructor of the Year award one year for teaching bread making. So I told Tony, I'm coming for him. I'm trying to get me one of those statues one time.
Yes.
But indeed. Yeah, it's really a broad array of topics you can get access to. And the tuition is super duper affordable. The membership is not a lot. And then once you're a member, you're going to pay about $35 per class.
Wow.
No, that's not even. Yours is a three session class.
Yes.
So $35 for three sessions.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that. Okay. So once again, there's an open house today.
Mm-hmm.
If you can go today,
yep,
1:30 to 3:00, Innovation Park. The Outreach Building is kind of at the end, of that. That section that they have there.
Yeah.
Hang a right, and it's opposite side of the street from the Penn State Hotel.
You will pay for parking, okay? If you park at the Outreach Building, at least, you will pay for parking
indeed.
Today, although it's got like a couple of bucks, no big deal. I want to check this out, Chris. I mean, again, this is not just, it's only online. No, this is like in person, like you're in a room someplace, right? Getting people together.
Yeah. It was a weird experience for me last year, actually having to learn to balance teaching to the in-classroom audience and then the online audience. I think I picked it up. I was concerned that the online folks were going to get left out.
Yeah.
I know that was kind of sometimes an issue for my daughter during COVID.
Yeah.
With the mix of in person and online. But I got pretty good feedback. I checked in with the online students just to make sure they were feeling like they were part of the whole thing. But,
cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, good luck.
Appreciate
and this sounds good. I'm absolutely checking
cool.
this out. Can I steal your catalog?
Yeah, you may.
Okay,
of course.
I'm going to steal your catalog because I want to take a look at that. That looks pretty neat. All right. Well, good luck, Doctor. Dr. Buchanani.
Thanks, boys. I appreciate it.
There we
it.
Go. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk to a real doctor. All right. Not a doctor like a Penn State doctor. Oh, let's move on. All right. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. More interesting conversation when we come right back.
Joe Biden, what are you doing here?
No. 98.7 The Fox.
It's Grange Fair season and Clearwater Swimming Pool Company is bringing the hot deals to the fair. Stop by our booth and explore our full lineup of hot spring spas built for comfort, performance, and year-round relaxation. During the Grange Fair only, save up to $1,000 on select models. Plus, get 50% off accessories like coverlifts, handrails, and Ozones.
Every tub includes a free cover and step, so you're soaking in serious value. Visit Clearwater at the Grange Fair and bring comfort and relaxation to your very own backyard.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox Insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an Insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an Insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Hey, honey. What you doing?
Getting the camping gear ready to go. Got the tent, air mattress, sleeping bags.
Hey, babe. I was thinking.
Oh, boy.
Don't you want me to be a happy camper?
Sure. Happy wife, happy life.
It's time to look at campers. I mean, let's just check them out. Let's go to Bill's Happy Campers in Mill Hall. Bill's Happy Campers has a great selection of new and used campers. I mean, they have great names like Catalina, the Legacy Edition, Trailblazer, Summit, Cedar Creek, Riverstone.
Sounds like you've already checked out Bill's Happy Campers.
I have. Look at their website, billshappycampers.com.
Wow, they're really nice. You put the camping stuff away.
Gladly.
Bill's Happy Campers, 15 North Water Street in Mill Hall. Open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, 8 till 6, Wednesday and Friday, 8 to 5. And make sure you visit them at the Center County Grange Fair. Bill's Happy Campers. You'll leave a happy camper because customer service is their top priority.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Sports fans flock to the We Are Inn in Phillipsburg for fun, great food and drink, and to cheer on the Nittany Lions. Now, coming to State College soon, visit the new Happy Valley Live by the We Are Inn next to the Hampton Inn, the former Damon's Restaurant. Happy Valley Live will become your go-to spot for sport, great Italian and American cuisine, the best bar in town, special rooms for parties and meetings. It's a Penn State fan's dream, just down the street from Beaver Stadium and the Jordan Center, and they're hiring. The countdown is on. The new Happy Valley Live is coming soon.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox. It's Let's Talk here on a Tuesday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. We will have a little open phone time coming up in the final segment of this morning's big show.
All right, I think our theme today is just learning stuff. All right, so we talked about Ollie, O-L-L-I. Seriously, if you're 50 and over, check that out. It looks pretty cool. Chris left his catalog here. I'm looking through this thing like, holy mackerel, there's a lot of stuff in here.
Well, just in the two pages he was reading about, I'm like, yeah, I'd like to check that out. That was like five things. Well, that all sounds, I've been vaguely aware of it and just have not really looked into that, and I need to look into that.
Pretty cool. All right, now we're going to talk to a real doctor. Okay, this guy has like DR in front of his name. All right, Dr. Chris Palma from Penn State. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. Talking about astronomy stuff. It was a year ago or something we had you
That's
on.
Right.
It was around the eclipse.
Yes. I remember the exact date because eclipses are so rare. So April 8th, you all had me in, like I think the weekend before or the week before to just let people know how to observe that safely.
Okay.
And then
it turned out to be a big bust.
Well, you know, we did what we could do. Yeah. Some other places it was really
cloudy,
cold.
Cloudy, you know. So that didn't work. Now, you and I bumped into each other a couple of weeks ago at the Bellefonte Art Museum, where I had heard, I guess for the summer, that there was a pretty cool exhibition of astronomy photography, mm-hmm. right? And I think it's still there. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. So the museum tries to, every summer, they get a little bit of local funding to put on an art exhibition where they change the theme every year. And so about 5 years ago now, one of our students did something on astronomy for them, and it was a big hit. So she ran through a couple of other things and came back to me and said, astronomy did well, would you be willing to do it? And I said to her, absolutely, because I think, you know, from an art perspective, like I do astronomy, I do science for a living. I spend an awful lot of time like looking at obscure images and making measurements. But a lot of the stuff we study is also just beautiful. People will go to the arts festival and buy a print of an astronomical object and hang it on their wall. And so it is really interesting to me how the science and the art are related like that. And so I said to her, if you're okay with it, I'll try to show a range of, like, here's some images that come out of the biggest telescopes we're able to build, but then I'll also show some images that were taken by people who live locally, who do this for fun in their backyard. And so I tried to mix up all of those things. And people so far, again, there's a lot of interest in astronomy as a hobby. People have been showing up at the museum and been giving us lots of great feedback about it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. This, I believe it runs through the end of the month, right? End of August. So it's still there. Now, the museum is not open every day. Do a web search for the Bellefonte Art Museum. Find their hours. I mean, some of those photos, Chris, were just like, whoa. I mean, what's one that just sticks out for you from that exhibition?
Yeah, I'll mention one by a local guy who actually local. He's in Williamsport. I don't know if you all are familiar. There's a park about 2 hours away from here called Cherry Springs.
Yes.
It's known to be the darkest site in Pennsylvania. So people who love astronomy will drive 2 hours to get to this park to experience the really dark skies. And he took an image through a very small telescope of an object called the Veil Nebula. It's the remnants of a dead star. It probably blew up thousands of years ago. But it just looks like these very thin filaments that are, some of them are red and some of them are blue. And again, it just looks like art. And then to realize that with a few hundred dollars investment in some equipment, you can take this beautiful picture and hang it on your wall. So it's called the Veil Nebula, and it was taken by a gentleman named Bob Stoffergen from Williamsport.
Wow. Cherry Springs is on my bucket list. I've driven through Cherry Springs a bunch of times with my old job, this simple little two-lane road that goes to Cowdersport.
Yeah. Yep.
And I drove through, but it was always in the daytime.
And it's also just like the eclipse. If you want to make a trip out there to see the beautiful dark skies, you want to go about 1 week a month when the moon is either not up or only up during the day. And then you need to get it right where it's both a moonless night and a cloudless night. So I've been there 3 times and it's been cloudy twice. So if you watch the weather, just pay attention that if you're going to make that trip, that you're going to try and hit it when it's clear.
But on a clear night, what do you see there?
Yeah.
What do you see?
I mean, this is one of the things I love to teach about. Like, next time you're just outside in your backyard, you're outside, look up in the State College skies. State College is pretty good for the size of community we are, but you might see at first a dozen stars. If you're out late, it's midnight, some people have started to turn their lights out, maybe you see 100 stars. If you live maybe not right downtown, if you live, say, 10 miles outside of State College, then you could see 200, 300 stars. You go to Cherry Springs, you're going to see 2,000 stars. And not only are you going to see 2,000 stars, we can't, unfortunately, most of us live in a place where you can't see the Milky Way anymore. So this beautiful band of, like, faint, fuzzy light out in Cherry Springs, the Milky Way is so bright. Now, this I didn't experience. They told me. On their absolute best nights, the Milky Way is so bright you cast a shadow on the ground.
Whoa.
From the light of, and we can't even see it here, right? So it's people go there specifically just to see thousands of stars and to see the glow of the Milky Way.
Wow. See, I live in Penns Valley, and I've lived there for a long time. right now, I cannot see the Milky Way.
Yep.
I can see a lot of stars, yep, but I can't see the Milky Way. I swear, 30 years ago, I could.
Yeah.
Now, it was kind of faint. Yep. I mean, I've seen, I think you might, maybe there's a picture in the exhibition of the Milky Way, like, whoa, look at that.
Yeah.
It was never that vivid, but I could see it. Now I can't.
Yeah, and that's honestly, that's the thing I tell people about more than anything else, is that like if you think about our generations, right? Like, so our parents could see the Milky Way whenever they went outside, pretty much anywhere. And just, I like to joke around, there's just so many gas stations. Think about every gas station you go to and how bright they make it, right? So we've just built, we all have security lights. We all have gas stations in our neighborhood. No offense. I know y'all are huge Penn State fans, just like I am. One of these days, I'm going to have a talk with James Franklin about how much they leave the lights on in Beaver Stadium.
How about that?
Because it's lights like that. Like during a game, during the day, I totally understand. But at like 1 a.m., 2 a.m., do we really need Beaver Stadium's lights on as bright as they are? And it's things like that that make the sky so bright you can't see the Milky Way. Huh. And even better is there are some organizations out there trying to talk to folks. You don't have to do a lot. Like, it's not like we want to tell everybody, don't build lights, don't put lights where you need them, but just shield them. Like, you could, like, if you are thinking about putting like a security light on your house, buy one that has a little metal shield so it shines all of the light down and it doesn't let any of the light go up.
Oh.
It saves you money because it's cheaper if you're only lighting up down. And by not letting any light go up in the sky, it's going to help us see more stars, see the Milky Way even better.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't even think about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Just turn all the lights on.
Yeah,
I've never understood the stadium thing. Is it something to do with airplanes? Like, they don't want an airplane to fly into the stadium or something? I can't imagine why they would even do that.
I'll tell you what I heard, and this makes total sense to me, right? Like, so if you think about operating that stadium, that's not a simple job. They have to turn the lights on for, you know, just think about the construction work they're doing now. They need lights on for, and it's not like in your house where you just flip on the switch. Like, if they turn the lights on, that's a big endeavor, and you can't just turn them on, turn them off like you would the lights in your living room. So that's the explanation I've heard. And hey, I don't want to get in anybody's way, but I just want to encourage them to think about it, right? Like, if you could leave the lights off overnight, it would help us see the sky.
We don't need to do any Penn State marketing between midnight and 6 a.m., for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, some of the undergrads pay attention to those times.
True enough. I'm not going there, all right? Anyway, general question.
Sure.
I don't know, what's hot in astronomy right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. Definitely the question that people ask us more than anything else, and the one that a lot of Penn State folks work on, is, are we alone, right? Is there life out there? And that idea is called astrobiology, right? So the idea of, we know there's living things here. Can we figure out if there are living things elsewhere? And so you and I talked a little bit about the James Webb Space Telescope. And when we build a telescope like that, we know we're going to discover some things we never knew before. But we also go into it saying, we're going to build a telescope that has the chance of answering some big questions. And that was one of them they wanted to answer.
Yeah.
Could James Webb Telescope detect evidence that there are planets out there like Earth? And so that's a really hard thing to do, but we're getting better at it. And with this amazing instrument, we're just barely starting to get some evidence that maybe there are some livable planets out there.
What is evidence?
See, yeah,
this is where I get confused, because yep, we're looking at this, the Webb telescope, I'm just transfixed. I mean, the photos are incredible, and it's a million miles out there, and it's amazing. But it's looking at things that are light years away, and we can't really see them unless it's like a pinprick of light. How do we know that there's life on that, whatever it is over there? How does the tell?
That's a great question. So I'm going to give you the answer.
Okay.
So one, it's challenging. So that's why people get a degree in what I teach, right? Like, come do 4 years with us for an undergrad and then 5 more years for your PhD, and I guarantee you you'll understand it. But it's hard work. But it really is built on things we've known how to do for hundreds of years, right? So some of the stuff that Isaac Newton discovered is what we do every day. So have you ever seen a prism, look through a piece of glass, and you see light turn into the rainbow, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet? So that's basically our bread and butter, spreading out the light from those teeny tiny little pinpricks of light. So if you can get what's called a spectrum, you spread out the light, there's every object has like a fingerprint in its spectrum. They're all unique, and their spectra are all a little bit different, and we spend all our time decoding those, right? Like, so let's look at the spectrum of the sun, let's look at the spectrum of the earth, let's look at the spectrum of Mars, and we know that Earth and Mars are different, so we look for like what's special about Earth and what's different about it from Mars. Then we point our telescopes at distant objects, and we compare their stars to the sun and say, okay, is that star similar to or different than the star, than the sun? And if they have planets, and if we can get a spectrum, which is, that's the thing that's really, really hard to do, we're trying to start comparing the spectrum of the planet to Earth. We're looking for, are there signatures in that planet spectrum that are similar to the things that we only find on Earth? And if you, so here, but here's the thing. Now, if I told you I found evidence that this distant pinpoint of light had signatures that said it was like Earth, is that enough to believe that there's stuff living there? Right? Yeah. And so I'm glad you said yes, because I was waiting for you to say no.
I don't, you know, like we are allegedly finding, oh, that planet has water.
Yeah.
Well, how do we know that? It's like a bazillion miles away or something.
Because so you look out the window and you see the clouds in the sky. If you took a spectrum out the window, you could tell that there are clouds in the sky, because there would be fingerprints in the spectrum of water vapor. Right? So water vapor, if there's no clouds in the sky, there's no water vapor in the spectrum. If there are clouds in the sky, there's a lot of water vapor. And so we can see that in distant objects. We can tell by their spectrum if there's water vapor in the thing we're looking at or not. And so again, that's the best evidence we can come up with. Like, I can't tell you, oh, I'm looking at a picture and I'm seeing living things. That's not what we get. We get some indication that there's water vapor. There's other gases that are only emitted by living things. So like the trees, all the plants, they're producing oxygen. And the only reason Earth has so much oxygen is because the trees are continually replenishing it. So if we saw that same feature, if we saw replenished oxygen in the atmosphere, we could guess that there's plant life. But it really is an educated guess, and it really is, we're trying to put together a case of like evidence that says everything tells us this planet is like Earth, and we haven't found one yet. But we're getting closer. We're really getting closer.
Okay. We haven't found one yet.
Yeah.
How many planets have been discovered by this point?
Yeah. So 20, 30 years ago, it was only in the like handful, and we've gotten really good at that. We're at sort of 6,000-7,000 planets we've discovered around other stars, but that's just knowing they're there, and then being able to actually characterize them and tell what they're like. That's the thing that we're just now being able to do. So the last 30, you can characterize, like, the last 30 years has been the discovery of them, and hopefully the next 30 years will be, now we're finally good enough to tell what they're made of.
Okay. Wasn't it like 30 years ago, wasn't it a Penn State person? What was that again? I can't remember.
Yeah, so that this was one of those things where for years and years and years, people wanted to be the first person to discover a planet around another star. And he just moved away from State College. His name is Alex Volshin, Polish astronomer. The funny thing is, like, one of the things people like to point out, because he's from Poland, they put his face on a postage stamp because he was so famous for discovering the first planets. But he did it by accident. So 91, 92, he was studying these weird stars and found a weird signature in how they were moving, and the only way to explain it was that they had planets going around them. So the very first planets around another star weren't around a sun-like star. They were around a dead star and discovered by Alex Volshin of Penn State.
Wow. That's pretty cool. He just retired.
Yeah. Just last year. We had a big party for him.
All right. Hidden planets. Planet 9. Allegedly, we found it, or we haven't found it, or way out there beyond Neptune or someplace. What the heck's going on, Chris?
So, and I love this, too, because I mentioned Isaac Newton already, right? So, look at how objects are moving in space. So, the moon goes around the Earth, Earth goes around the sun, Mars goes around the sun. Isaac Newton is the first person who really sort of explained how that worked, and it's what we teach. If you're a freshman taking physics, you're going to learn all the physics you need to know to understand why does a planet orbit the sun. And so if you see an object that's supposed to be going around an object in an orbit and it acts funny, there's only a couple of ways that can happen. Something else must be pulling on it, and that something else... If there's something else pulling on it, it's got to be visible in some way. And so that's where this idea of Planet Nine came from. There's a couple of small objects very far from the sun that are moving in kind of a weird way. And so when the people who discovered them noticed that they were moving strangely, they said the only way this works is if there's a big planet really far away that's pulling on them. And they've spent the last 10, 15 years looking for it. There's always a Penn State connection, which I think is fun. One of my friends, he did some research using this telescope to rule out. He basically said there's no way there's a Jupiter mass planet within a huge distance from the sun. There's no way there's a Saturn sized planet within so far from the sun. And so he could rule those out. But the group that just claimed they think they found Planet Nine says they think they found a Neptune-sized planet that's about 700 times further away from the sun than we are. So if you take Neptune and you put it that far away, it's almost impossible to see. And so they've made the first claim that they think they've seen it. It's going to require other people to go and point other telescopes and verify it's actually there. I'm pretty excited, though. You know, we stopped calling Pluto a planet, so we went from 9 to 8. Now, if we really verify this thing is out there, we're going to go back to 9.
My friend, Mr. Ironhead.
I am not happy about the Pluto demotion. It still upsets me.
My wife tells me I'm pretty good at convincing people like that that it wasn't actually a bad thing. I mean, it's still there, and that's why I say it's still there. It's still awesome. It's a different class of thing. We found other things like it, and so we just don't want to call it a planet anymore because it's more like these other things than it is like Earth and Mars.
Explain that a little bit.
Sure.
When I was a kid, it wasn't like, we think this could be. It was,
it
this
is
the ninth planet.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit just about the different classification
for it. So the planets that you grew up with, like Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, they all orbit sort of by themselves. There's not too much other stuff. There's a few sort of little things. But when we discovered Pluto, the reason it was called a planet, it was predicted to be there. So that was thing number one. And it was the only thing we found outside of Neptune. So that was for 60 years. We did not know there was anything else. And then starting between 92 and 2003, people started finding not just one or two or 10, but thousands of other things out in Pluto. So you know how we talk about the asteroid belt?
Yeah.
Right? So there's actually another belt out beyond Neptune, and there's probably hundreds of thousands, millions, billions of icy objects out there, and Pluto's just one of them. So its properties are a lot more like those things than it is like Earth or Mars or Venus. And because it's not like, the big thing is like I said, Earth sort of orbits the sun and there's not too much else. Pluto orbits inside this belt. So we sort of came up with a name that we call them Kuiper Belt objects. It's named after a guy. And it's more like the Kuiper Belt objects than it is like a planet. So it's and that's the thing. Like, people thought that it got destroyed or it got ejected. It's still there.
Poor
it's
Pluto.
Yeah, it's still as amazing as it ever was, but we just found other things. And there's actually, it has almost a twin. That was really the key. There's another object in this belt that's almost exactly the same size and has almost exactly the same properties. And that was the thing that we said, well, it's not just it's in this belt, but there's things almost exactly like it in the belt.
All right. We'll take a break here in a moment. Now, these guys, they've seen this mystery planet. They've seen it.
A dot in a picture.
Oh, it's a dot again. Yeah, all right. Yep. But it's decent size. What did you say? Neptune size.
Neptune size.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. Bigger than Earth.
Okay. So we need more people to point their equipment and, oh, there it is. Oh, there it is. And get multiple people to say, oh, there it is. And then we got it.
And watch it move. And so we know that it's actually a planet orbiting the sun.
Hmm. Okay. All right. All right. We're going to take a break. Dr. Chris Palma from Penn State's our guest. When we come back, I'm going to ask about this, whatever it is that's going through our solar system that the aliens are doing a flyby. All right. And he's laughing. He thinks this is funny. Some people are taking this very seriously. All right. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Flocks. All right. The alien flyby when we come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Hey, honey. What you doing?
Getting the camping gear ready to go. Got the tent, air mattress, sleeping bags.
Hey, babe. I was thinking.
Oh, boy.
Don't you want me to be a happy camper?
Sure. Happy wife, happy life.
It's time to look at campers. I mean, let's just check them out. Let's go to Bill's Happy Campers in Mill Hall. Bill's Happy Campers has a great selection of new and used campers. I mean, they have great names like Catalina, the Legacy Edition, Trailblazer, Summit, Cedar Creek, Riverstone.
Sounds like you've already checked out Bill's Happy Campers.
I have. Look at their website, billshappycampers.com.
Wow, they're really nice. You put the camping stuff away.
Gladly.
Bill's Happy Campers, 15 North Water Street in Mill Hall. Open Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, 8 till 6, Wednesday, and Friday 8 to 5. And make sure you visit them at the Center County Grange Fair. Bill's Happy Campers. You'll leave a happy camper because customer service is their top priority.
Our military heroes deserve our thanks. Patriotic Hearts is there to assist those in need, especially in the transition back to family and civilian life. You can help by donating an unwanted car, truck, SUV, or van. Your donation supports the programs that make a difference in the lives of veterans and those actively serving our country. Call today for a fast, free pickup. Your donation will not only be greatly appreciated, but will also qualify as a tax deduction. Call 800-917-1544 to help our military heroes. Call 800-917-1544. Operators are standing by 24/7. Patriotic Hearts, helping our soldiers and veterans live a better life. Call 800-917-1544. That's 800-917-1544. Together, we can make a difference.
Are you looking for the best pizza in town? Look no further than Brothers Pizza in downtown Belfont. Good, fast, and did I mention really good? Brothers Pizza also delivers to the immediate area, but you can also enjoy sit-down dining with convenient on-street parking. For fast, friendly delivery, call 355-5581 or stop by at 102 North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfont. Brothers Pizza, downtown Belfont.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox Insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an Insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an Insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Interest rates and inflation are out of control. Is your credit card debt also out of control? It's time to resolve your debt and take back control for a lot less than what you owe. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, then you need to call us right now. Debt Fix Pros can significantly reduce the amount you owe, and you could be debt-free faster than you think.
I knew we had to do something. Our debt was growing.
It was getting out of control, and we just didn't know what to do.
We saw an ad for Debt Fix Pros. We called, and they showed us how fast they could get us out of debt.
It really was amazing, and now we're back in control.
Call now, and we'll show you how easy it is to fix your debt. The call and consultation are free. Call Debt Fix Pros right now. Call 800-930-0388. That's 800-930-0388. 800-930-0388.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand Multi-Force stand-ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Let's Talk is the program. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox is the radio station. We will have a little open phone time coming up in the final segment of today's big show.
We'll see how much time, because I'm geeking out. All right, I'm having fun.
All good.
All right, Dr. Chris Palma from Penn State's with us. Now, you folks have what, an observatory or talk? Can regular people go there, or is it just for Penn State people?
Only for irregular people.
Yes.
No regular people are allowed.
Irregular.
My wife would agree that astronomers are irregular people. Yes and no. So we do have an observatory. So our building is Davy Lab. We're right across the street from the hub. And if you're ever just walking on campus, you can tell our building because it has the three white domes on top. So we do have telescopes here. And years ago, before COVID, we tried to open every Friday night. We tried to have the telescopes open. But again, we were joking around with it right off the bat. As you know, the weather in State College is not really conducive to astronomy. So let's say we would try to hold 10 open houses in a semester. We would get a clear night, one or two of those 10. And so since COVID ended and we're trying to open things up a little bit more than they had been for a while, we decided instead of trying to open all these times and canceling 80% of them, let's try to be a little more strategic about when we open. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to open at least once a month on a Friday night, and if it's open, it's usually 8:30 until 10:30 or 11, and always has been open to the public, free. So for the fall semester, we haven't posted our dates yet, but we're going to try and pick a date in September. We always do Parents and Families Weekend at Penn State, so we know for sure we'll be open October 18th, and then we'll try to do a date in November, and then December is always tricky because of the weather, and then the holidays coming in, so we're not sure we're going to open in December, but we always put on our website, like the main Department of Astronomy and Astrophysics website, we have a page on stargazing, and we tell people if we're going to be open on a given Friday night, and then it's just open to anyone who'd like to look through the telescopes.
Is there an easy website address for your website, or is it
one of those big long ones? How about I send it to you after we're done, and if there's an easy way for you to get it out?
All right,
that'll work.
Yeah.
Is there anything if you have a telescope at home or even at Davy Lab that is like specific to the winter months versus the summers? Is there anything that like, all right, yep, this is the time, only time of the year here where you're going to be able to check this out?
That's a great question. So, right, we're coming up into fall and winter. So right now, still the things we see in the sky, we would call them, it's the summer sky still, and it'll slowly change into like November and December. So there's two really great targets in the winter. The Orion Nebula, which people have probably seen, it's a beautiful cloud of gas, and then the Pleiades star cluster. So I always joke around with people, do you know anybody who has a Subaru? So you know the front plate of a Subaru has stars on it? That's the Pleiades star cluster. So if you want to see the group of stars that are actually on that car. You can see them in the winter sky. And even, you know, if you have a pair of binoculars you take to the football games, those are good enough to see the whole thing. They're really great to look at the moon. So any night the moon is up, which is all year round, it's definitely worth it. But in the winter, I would tell people to try to look for, it's called the Pleiades Star Cluster. It's pretty easy to find because it's near the constellation Orion, and even people who don't know the stars that well at all, usually the first thing people can find is the Orion constellation.
Yeah, the belt.
Yep.
Three stars in a row, which are nowhere near each other, correct?
Yep.
Those three stars are not even close to each other.
You are absolutely correct.
Just in our view, it looks like one, two, three, like they're right next to each other. Okay. All right. There's something flying through the solar system from outside. It's going to keep on going and go wherever it goes. And, of course, we all know that's where the aliens are, and they're taking a look at us. What the heck is this thing?
So it's great because, like I was saying before, it's to me, the thing I love about this is, you know, astronomy, sometimes people say, like, I'm not so sure I can understand astronomy. It's a lot. The universe is so big, right? But it does boil down to some pretty basic ideas in science. And the most fundamental one is that, like, if you're a planet, you're going to follow a nearly circular orbit around the sun. And so the Earth has just been going around the sun over and over and over again. So every once in a while, we see things that instead of following a nearly circular orbit, they're going so fast that their path is curved, but it doesn't close and make a circle. It's just a short arc, basically. And so to do that, it's got to be going really fast. So if it was going slow, it would make that nearly circular orbit. But if it's going so fast, it's just going to pass through and keep going and never come back. So people predicted that should happen. There's stuff out there in space that's moving fast enough. Something like once a year, once every 10 years, something like that, we expect something to go through our solar system. About 10 years ago now, we found one. It was going about, Earth moves pretty fast. This thing was going about 20 times faster than the Earth. And so when we looked at it, it turned out, like everything in space, it's just a rock. it's a big space rock. It's moving really fast. So it was interesting. We followed it until it left the solar system, and it's never going to return again. And people have been predicting the same thing. We should see more of them. We found another one. And so most people said, oh, it's just a rock. It's moving really fast. But like you said, the alternative idea is if something is moving really fast, it could be made by intelligent beings, right? And so every time something like this is in the news, there are people who will say, how do you know it's a rock and how do you know it's not, you know, the Klingons? And I will say, astronomers take that idea pretty seriously. Like, we actually say, okay, that's a valid point. Is it a rock or is it something made by intelligent beings of some sort? You should be able to tell the difference, right? A rock should look like a rock. And so all of the evidence I have seen, this thing that's moving really fast, in a lot of ways, this one doesn't look entirely like just a rock. It looks like a comet. So a comet, like if you say, what's the difference? A comet has more ice. And so when comets get near the sun, they heat up and they start to release gas and it basically trails behind. So, you know, like, I know it's summer. We don't even want to think about this. You know, on those really cold, snowy days when the snow starts to melt and you can see, like, a faint haze, like, hanging above the snow, that's what comets do. Okay. They get this, like, faint haze, and we can see that. So we see this thing going really fast, has a faint haze of ice melting, and so it's a comet. But there's one kind of famous astronomer who's like, no, it's not a comet, it's a spaceship. And he's been making a lot of waves by telling everybody that this thing is a spaceship and it's not just a random rock.
Guy from Harvard.
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
I guess is pretty well known.
Yeah.
And he's done this before.
Yep.
Now, I didn't get a name, but one of your colleagues had an online posting essentially saying this guy's full of it or
It's turning into like a little bit of drama in the community, unfortunately.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So the guy in our department, his name is Jason Wright, and he's one of the folks that I would say studies this stuff seriously. Like, he takes the idea that there are intelligent creatures in the universe seriously. So he's been trying to come up with, can I convince someone that we have found evidence that there's intelligent life out there? So because he studies that, some of the work he has done, people have called him up and said, hey, I heard you discovered aliens. Tell us more about it. And he's like, it's not aliens. I'm trying to find them, but I'm showing here's the thing we found that we thought could have been aliens, and here's how we figured out it wasn't. So he's very much approaches it from that point of view. And the person from Harvard, he jumps right to it's aliens. And so the two of them are butting heads a little bit. And in particular, I would say that the guy from Harvard, his name is Avi Loeb, he really does seem to be, like, I don't want to be mean to the guy. I don't know him. I haven't met him. But he does, like you said before, he's done this before where if there's something going on that has captured people's attention and it comes up, it could be aliens, he goes right to, it definitely is. Whereas most of us say, we doubt it is. Let's take it seriously. Let's try to figure it out. But it probably isn't. And I don't know why, but he really enjoys. I think he wants to be on TV. I think he wants to be on the radio. And I think saying it's aliens gets him on TV.
We know for sure that it's not like a super powerful Klingon on steroids, like just skipping these rocks through the universes.
Yeah, those are two. That's the thing. Like, you could come up with that, and you could say, "How do we rule it out?" And that's science, right? Like, if you have an idea, even if it sounds bonkers, like, is it some Klingon? You should be able to come up with a way to tell the difference between Klingons shooting something versus the universe just making a rock go really fast.
How many things out there, like, let's just say within the Milky Way, anyway, are inexplicable? Like, we do have UFOs. I don't know that they're, but I mean, it's just, like, truly an unidentified man. That was a flying object. We don't know what it was. And again, there's all kinds of explanations for that. But how much is pretty much everything that we're seeing ultimately, okay, well, we have a pretty good, I mean, maybe not 100%, but yeah, this would explain what we're seeing with the telescope.
So I've been doing this for a while now. I've been in astronomy. I think I can safely say I've been doing this for 30 years now. And every once in a while, something like that comes up. This thing is weird. We've never seen anything like this before. But people have been doing astronomy for hundreds of years. We've figured out what a lot of things are. And so even when those weird things come up, it usually takes a year and someone's like, oh no, I figured it out. Here's what, it's a weird example of this one thing we really know about. So the weirdest one was actually the one that Jason Wright, the gentleman that you brought up, I don't think he discovered it. He was part of a team. He was looking at a star, and stars sometimes they vary. Like, the light from a star, it gets faint, then bright, then faint, then bright, then faint. And so a lot of times that's the star pulsating. The star actually gets bigger and smaller, so we can explain that. Sometimes stars, their light changes because something passes in front of it. So there's lots of reasons why a star could get fainter, but about 10 years ago now, maybe 8 years ago, a star was seen changing its brightness in a way we had never seen before. And that was the one, it's a star. It was discovered by a woman named Tabitha, and so people call it Tabby Star. And for a while, that was the most weird thing out there. And one of the possible explanations came right out of Star Trek and science fiction, right? So there's this idea of what's called a Dyson sphere. You can imagine super technologically advanced aliens that can build really big structures. They could build something around their star. And if they built it big enough, as that thing passed in front of the star, it would make it look fainter. And so one of the ideas was that this star was surrounded by what's called a Dyson sphere, an intelligent civilization built artificial thing that was blocking the light from the star. Turned out not to be. but that was one of those weird things that we could not explain for a while.
Huh. All right. All right, we have a couple minutes. Here's a quick one.
Yeah.
We have a way to detect asteroids that are flying in all directions. There was an experiment with a rocket, I don't know, a couple of years ago that hit one of these things. If we determine, if somebody discovered today, okay, here comes an asteroid comet, it's headed right for us.
Yeah.
With no shadow of doubt, like the dinosaurs or something. Could we actually right now do something about that, or are we toast?
I don't know if Bruce Willis is struggling now. Yeah. I don't know that we're going to be able to.
He's in a bad way.
Yeah. You
know? Bruce was, oh man, thank God he was able to save us that one time. So that was what that mission was all about, right? So we want to know, could we do this? So here's the problem, and I don't want to make people nervous or anything. If you found something and it was headed straight for us, and you found it when it was really close, and we only had a month, if we had a month, we probably, there's not much we could do. But we're studying these things, and we're watching them, and we're trying to find all of them. And so we're trying to find them early enough that we have a couple years of notice. And if we have a couple of years of notice, that was what that mission was all about. With a couple of years notice, we could build something, send it up, have it impact the thing, and it just knocks it off course just enough. And they were successful. They actually took a rock that was moving in one orbit, and they hit it just hard enough that they changed its orbit. And that would be enough to take something that was potentially going to hit Earth and make it miss.
So we could actually do it.
We could.
We don't need Bruce Willis and a nuke or
something.
He
is safely retired.
Good.
I can safely retire. All right, final question, all right? And anytime the federal government's involved, I'm skeptical. Are we actually going to put people on the moon and Mars like in the next 5 years?
Wow, that's a great one. People want to do it.
Yeah.
And I mean, the thing that's amazing to me is I mean, that's dangerous, right? And people are lining up to be the first person to do it the first person to land on the moon in decades now. The moon of the two, the moon is easier because it's close.
All right.
Here's something we can't do yet. Like, if you volunteered tomorrow and you said, I want to go to Mars, if we put you in a rocket ship and sent you there, there's so much high energy light coming from the sun, you'd arrive fried. You would basically be dead. So the thing we have not been able to invent yet is a way to shield astronauts so during the trip to Mars they wouldn't get irradiated to the point where they die. So that's a problem no one has solved yet, but people are working on it because people really do want to go there. So I would not say 5 years, but maybe 30. I wouldn't be surprised if there are people going there. And it's really because people want to do it. And if people want to do it, they're working on, can we figure out how to get there, how to live there, how to keep ourselves safe while we're there? I wouldn't be surprised.
30. I don't know if I can last that long, Doctor. We need the Vulcans to show up.
Yeah.
We need the Vulcans to pull in. Okay, guys, we'll help you out. No big deal. Well, hey, thank you very much.
Sure.
It's just a fun conversation.
It is amazing.
If somebody does a web search for, like, Penn State Davy Lab, probably...
Stargazing. So if they look for Penn State Stargazing, they should find us.
Okay, that's easily done. Penn State Stargazing. All right. And, yes, I've got to go to Cherry Springs. That's bucket list. I've got to get up there sometime. So, hey, thanks again.
Yes, thank you.
Interesting conversation. All right, we're going to come back. Folks, the aliens are not coming. Now, my friend the Ironhead says,
that's what the aliens want us to believe.
He says they're already here, but anyway. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Let's talk when we return.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7,
The Fox.
It's Grange Fair season, and Clearwater Swimming Pool Company is bringing the hot deals to the fair. Stop by our booth and explore our full lineup of hot spring spas, built for comfort, performance, and year-round relaxation. During the Grange Fair only, save up to $1,000 on select models. Plus, get 50% off accessories like coverlifts, handrails, and ozones. Every tub includes a free cover and step, so you're soaking in serious value. Visit Clearwater at the Grange Fair and bring comfort and relaxation to your very own backyard.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, is your destination for Kubota. At Daughter Equipment in Mill Hall, the savings start before the fair does. It's the Daughter Equipment Fair Savings event going on now. Step into the Kubota LX2620 cab tractor with a factory-installed, climate-controlled cab. You'll stay comfortable no matter the season, heat in the winter, AC in the summer, plus 24.8 horsepower, hydrostatic transmission, and quick-connect load and backhoe options. From mowing to moving snow, the Kubota LX2620 is your all-in-one workhorse. And right now, during Daughter Equipment's Fair Savings event, you can save up to $4,500 on select Kubota LX2620 models. Don't wait for the fair to get started. These deals are happening now at Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Visit us or see KubotaUSA.com for full details.
Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Are your deductibles too high? Or are you completely uninsured? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Healthcare Help Desk can help you now, when people need help the most. Health insurance laws and rules have changed. If you have Obamacare, are uninsured, or your premiums are too high, call Healthcare Help Desk. It's free. New healthcare plans are available, and you may qualify for dental coverage and lower copays and deductibles. Make the free call now. Top quality coverage at the lowest prices anywhere. You may be paying too much and not even know it. In these troubled times, healthcare is more important than ever. Don't let another day go by without health insurance. Policies are being offered with very low copays and deductibles. So if you're uninsured, underinsured, or paying too much, call Healthcare Help Desk.
800-930-2263. 800-930-2263. 800-930-2263.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Stay big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Let's talk final minute of a Tuesday morning edition. Jeff and Scott with you, and well, that was a fun morning.
Yeah, we tackle the tough stuff. Aliens. All right, there we go. Indeed. Tomorrow, really looking forward to this tomorrow. We have a guest from the Constructive Dialogue Institute.
Oh, those idiots, what do they want?
Not that. Huh? Okay. They work primarily with colleges and universities, and I came across this recently. I'm like, well, we try to do constructive dialogue here. We really, really do. And we've talked about, you know, debates on college campuses and some of the craziness that we've seen in the last year or two. Not so much here at Penn State, but a place, you know, Columbia and Harvard and Ivy League and some other places. Need more constructive dialogue. What is that and how do you get there? How do regular people do that? Listen in to tomorrow's program. And we won't talk about aliens, probably, tomorrow.
Well, you never know.
All right. Enjoy the Grange Fair if you head that way. Weather nice and cool. Thank you very much. In the meantime, it is a busy Tuesday. We bet you got one. We will talk to you again here tomorrow morning.
We don't.
don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Hey.